And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Good to be with you on this Tuesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420, 98.5, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Hey, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? Great to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the show. Nathan Ganelli, the new head coach, or manager if you prefer, of the Aberdeen Smitties. He'll be joining us here in about 15 to 20 minutes on the show. Looking forward to that conversation with him. And also coming up towards the back half of the show, Jay KleinConnect and an Aberdeen Wings Weekly. That's coming up in just a bit as well towards the back half of the hour, as JK got a chance to talk a little hockey with one of the players there, Ryan Flaherty. He joined him, so we'll have that conversation coming up towards the back half of the show. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the man we call Mr. Unlimited, a.k.a. the Cobra, a.k.a. just a really solid guy over there. He's Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Doing really good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Well, I'm hanging in there. Had the first ever swim lessons for the daughter there yesterday.
How'd that go?
You know, pretty well, you know.
Awesome.
She hung in there. She didn't cry.
And, that's great.
And she saw a couple of smiles, so all good things.
Oh, that's awesome. Great moment for you and the family, huh?
Proud papa moment.
Yeah.
There you go. No, no tears were shed, and, you know, nobody drowned, so that's good.
That is good news.
Always good news there. All right, so that's what's on tap of the show here today. We'll talk some high school news and notes, a loaded, and I mean loaded, track and field slate from yesterday. Definitely not going to have all the time to get to these, so check out our website on hubcityradio.com. We'll hit on some of the main ones coming up in just a bit. Plus, Aberdeen Roncalli boys tennis, they were in action yesterday as well. We'll hit on that. Plus, we'll also get to the jump here very, very shortly. But first, got to take a quick commercial timeout as Nathan Ganelli, he'll be joining us in the next 15 minutes or so on the program. The jump is coming up next on FSA. Back on this Tuesday installment of The Hub, yo soy David Tewksbury. El Soy, Matt McClure. What's no? That's two, right?
Yeah, I took French in college. I think it's J Sweet Day Matt. I think that's how you say my name's Matt in French.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I took high school Spanish and college Spanish. It's all out the window.
Yeah, three semesters of French. It was tough.
That sounds brutal.
It was really tough.
I took one semester of stats. That was enough for me. That was
well. You
class.
Need a language to graduate with the broadcasting degree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I took Spanish in high school, struggled with it. Let me just start with French. And that second year of French was tough.
Well, it's kind of my thought process of, you know, in high school is I took Spanish, and just like you, you have to graduate with some sort of foreign language. I'm like, okay, well, I took high school Spanish, so I know this stuff already. You would think that would help me, but it did not.
Well, that's where Rosetta Stone, I guess, comes in handy, right?
Yeah, that and Spark Notes. That's good stuff. He's Matt McClure, we call him
Mr. Unlimited.
As we toss this thing skyward for this Tuesday installment of The Jump, and I got to tell you, a lot to get to today. Certainly a lot of local notes, and we'll get to those here very shortly with high school track and field, but a couple of things that piqued my interest, and I saw a couple things here on social media yesterday as we get closer and closer to the playoffs and the postseason. Officially, that begins tonight. In the NBA, you've got the play-in games. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but you've got 82 games to figure it out. If you can't figure out who's an 8 or 9 seed or a 10 seed, it's just like, what are we doing?
I like the play-in because it gives that one-and-done type feel to it.
Right.
And you're going to be playing, like, if you lose, you're out.
Yeah.
Like the Warriors tonight, a team that people are like, oh, they could make a run. They could make a run just because of what they've done prior. If they lose tonight, they're done.
Right.
That's why I like it.
See, my thing is this. If you have 82 games to figure it out, and a lot of those are your starters that just don't want to play, it's like, why should you be bailed out by one game?
Well, they're trying to make it so more fans are engaged. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, like they got a week without basketball because the first round of the playoffs doesn't start till Saturday.
Weekend, yeah.
So they're like, okay, what do we do for a week? So I think they implemented this within the last, I think this is the second year of doing it.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I totally get it. But I just don't like the fact that teams can get bailed out by just wanting to sit out anyways.
Sure.
So, I mean, I get it. I see both sides of it for sure. But speaking of sitting out, I saw this yesterday, and I even tweeted about this on the old X there. And if you want to give us a follow, encourage you to do so at Fox Sports, 1420 AM. I am at David Tewksbury. He is, of course, at @the_Cobra66. But I tweeted this out here yesterday that there were only 17 players that played a full 82 games this season. 17 players in the NBA, and I looked it up, that's 2.9% of the league that played every game. And I said, I wonder how this matches up with other major sports. Load management, to me, has ruined the NBA for many fans. So I kind of looked things up a little bit, and the last known stats that came out in 2020, last article that I saw in the NFL, 56% of the players played in every single game. And I get it, there's a difference between 82 and a difference between 17 games, and then in 2020 was 16, but 56% of the league played every single game. That's not saying every snap, but 56% played every game in the NFL. Somebody sent me a message saying that only four players played all 162 in baseball, and I said, okay, I can see that. You know, 162, you know, you need some a day off here or there, I get it. But the NBA, there's no more back-to-backs, hardly ever.
Nope.
And 2.9%, that's a pretty low number.
And it really is low, and I think the new norm now is if you play 65-plus games, that's considered you're playing a lot, which you're still missing, what is that, 17, 18 games?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mentioned it before. I'm an NBA fan, always will be, but that's why fans kind of drawn away from the NBA because you don't see the best players every night. You know, you get a big matchup, Celtics, Sixers, an hour before tip-off, you see that Joel Embiid's not playing. Fans don't like that, so I completely understand why fans are kind of away with the NBA, but I'm with you. That's a low number. That's a really low number.
I also saw that Kevin Durant played in 75 games this season in year 17, and the line under that says, incredible. And I was like, is it? Like, is that an incredible number? I looked it up. Michael Jordan was 40 in his last year. He played in all 82 games. Was that incredible? Or, I mean, like, Michael Jordan was drinking Miller Lights after games and, you know, ripping
gambling.
Gambling, ripping cigars. Guys nowadays, they've got their own personal trainers and, you know, they're drinking this and they're hitting the hyperbolic chamber. It's just like, is that really incredible for Kevin Durant? I don't think so.
Well, he's been injury prone the last couple of years, so that's why I think you're hearing the incredible aspect with that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a sarcastic incredible or what have you, but it just kind of shows you the hyper, sort of the flowery language that we use nowadays with players in regardless of sport. Oh, that's incredible. Never seen that before. It's just like, well, we saw that with Patrick Mahomes in a play. It's like, I've never seen anyone do that. Actually, Marcus Mariota did it a couple years ago. Whatever. But prisoner of the moment stuff. And one more quick like here. Games won since opening day. UConn men's basketball, the Chicago White Sox 2. How about that? The Chicago White Sox are 2-14 to start the season, and the UConn men's basketball team, they haven't played in about a week now, and they still have more wins.
When I tell you to start the MLB when we were doing our preview that the White Sox were going to be one of the worst teams in baseball, and they can't get anybody out. That's really the bottom line. Their pitching's been absolutely terrible. The Royals went in there. They played the Royals the last couple games, and they've just gotten absolutely destroyed. And the Royals right now are the surprise team in the Central. But how about that? The UConn's Huskies men's team have won more games than the Chicago White Sox, who plays every single day.
Yeah, and the Huskies haven't played in a week. So, to your point, pretty wild. And, oh, by the way, Twins, of course, they're back in action today. They'll be taking on your squad, the Baltimore Orioles, 5:35 for your first pitch tonight. It was 5:35 last night. The Orioles picked up a 7-4 victory over the Minnesota Twins. Nathan Ganelli, he'll be joining us here in just a bit, but some more high school news and notes from yesterday. There was an abundance of high school track and field. Again, visit our website for more details, but a couple things on the local side to hit on here. Let's start up on the Aberdeen Central side of things. They had the Brookings Quadrangular there yesterday, and of note, you had teams of Stillman, Lust, Fritz, and Reif winning the 4x100-meter relay there. That's on the girls' side. Altmaier, Witt, Withers, and Lopez win the sprint medley relay 1600-meter there. Tara Neiman won the discus with a school record. Job well done for her. And also on the boys' side, Colby Dowen won the 400-meter run. Grant Fritz there in second. Christian Wells won the 3,200-meter run with a school record. Larson, Bigler, Phillips, and Fritz won the 4x400-meter relay. And Jack Birch won the discus there with the PR. So a lot of good numbers right there from Aberdeen Central yesterday.
Yeah, really good numbers. And these kids just continue to to dominate, it seems like, on the track and field side of things. These multi-sport athletes that just use their talents, and it's really incredible to see. And Aberdeen Central, they really had a good day yesterday on the girls and boys side. A really nice day for a lot of individuals.
No team scores, by the way, were kept yesterday at that Brookings Quadrangular. Speaking of multi-sport athletes, Carly Cotton, we talked about her in abundance on the basketball side of things. She won the 100-meter hurdles there yesterday. Falkton collectively finished in third place of 11 teams. Warner in first, Pier in second. On the boys' side, you had Pier up top, followed by Jones County and Warner. Alex Pudwill won the shot put as well as the discus. Again, for more individual notes, visit our website. On the Orville Fitzer relays, that was over there in Britain, Shantae LaCroix of Aberdeen Christian won the 100 and 200 meter runs. Job well done for her. Riley Voller of Aberdeen Roncalli won the discus, while Allie Isaacson of Christian won the long jump. Parker Grieben of Aberdeen Roncalli won the 110 meter hurdles, plus the 300 meter hurdles there as well. And our guy Braden Sumption of Frederick, he won in the long jump. Job well done for him. Again, for more details, visit our website on hubcityradio.com. Boys tennis from yesterday, Aberdeen Roncalli, they pretty much mopped the floor with Sioux Falls Roosevelt, winning that duel 8-1. Roncalli got victories, singles victories from Palmer Johnson, Gannon May, Landon Zickmund, Jaden Reese, and Ezra Feikert. Job well done there, fellas. And Roncalli would fall to Watertown 9-0. And also of note on the college baseball side of things, Briarcliff downs Jamestown in a doubleheader 7-4 and 11-1. And again, quick like, the Orioles beat the Twins yesterday 7-4. Twins offense has been kind of boom or bust here early. They strike out a lot, and I get it, the season's young, but all these games matter.
Yeah, they certainly do. And Cedric Mullins for the Orioles made a big play early in that game. He robbed extra bases and a couple runs, and then the Orioles really settled into the game. And like you mentioned, the Twins offense, it's boom or bust every game. They could either score five runs or two runs. They scored four yesterday. They were really never into the game.
Well, they'll see if they can do it again here today to kind of flip that script on Baltimore. We've got Nathan Ganelli joining us next.
There are certain things in life we put off and wish we just wouldn't have to face. Often we don't face these fears until there's no...
We are back on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 90.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Jake Klein connects with your Aberdeen Wings Weekly coming up in just a bit. But first and foremost, we're not that far away from the Legion baseball season. Matter of fact, a little less than a month or so away from May the 8th. I don't have a countdown clock in front of me or anything like that, but Nathan Ganelli, he joins us live in studio. He's the new manager for the Aberdeen Wings. Thanks for popping in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys.
Do you have a countdown clock on your phone or something like that? You check your watch there a little bit.
Yeah, we're about 3 weeks away right now, and yeah, it's great. We're getting outside a little bit and starting to see the ball fly, which is kind of nice.
There you go. So obviously Brendan Kusler was the man last year. He was the manager. And now this is your first year as the manager for the Smitty. So how did this whole thing kind of come to be?
Yeah, I got reached out by some people on the board and see if I was interested for the job. I've coached 3 years, one for Watertown, two for Brookings, and then I actually volunteered coach for the Harrisburg fast pitch varsity team. So been coaching for a while now, and it's going to be a great opportunity. It's going to be a fun season.
There you go.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you talk about opportunity. It seems like you've had a coaching tree a little bit here. You always wanted to be that kind of head coach. Was that your goal for you?
Yep, absolutely. It's just it's nice to get out there and kind of, you know, implement a couple different things and kind of build up a new culture for us. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, that's a big word. We talk culture all the time on the Sports Hub, and that's just kind of those cliched buzzwords that broadcasters use, coaches use. So can you kind of unpack that word and what that means for you and your style?
Yeah, just being respectful to the game and having consistency, right? With baseball, consistency is a big part of it. You know, just being able to do the little things right, because that leads to the big things, being able to do that right and just kind of bringing the team together. Some baseball, it's kind of individual, but when you can come together as a team, that's when you can really ride into the playoffs.
Kind of a follow-up there. You talk, players say this all the time. Coaches say it all the time. We want to play the game the right way. What does that mean?
Yeah, like I said, just being respectful to other teams, to the umpires. I know some umpires can get a little shellacking here and there, but just being respectful to them and, you know, just doing the little things right, you know, feeling the ball, knowing the situation, knowing what we need you to do at the plate at the right time as well. I mean, that just kind of goes a long way versus, you know, just home runs and all that stuff. Just doing the little things right and playing a little bit of small ball while also seeing the ball fly a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Want to get in your background a little bit. Was baseball always number one for you? Was it something that you were always gravitated towards as a little kid?
Yeah, baseball has been always number one. I played all through, and I actually played in Watertown. I had the opportunity to go to SMSU for a semester, played there for a bit. But yeah, baseball has been number one for me for a very long time.
And kind of to follow up, did you have kind of like a light bulb moment where you're like, hey, I want to be a coach one day?
Yeah.
What was that like?
That's when I was at SMSU. Yep. Just like, wow, okay, this coaching thing, it's very, very important, you know, just to teach the game, but also teach life lessons as you go along. So
Nathan Ganelli joining us here, Aberdeen Smitty's new head manager. So we've got opening day coming up on May the 8th. That's going to be up north in Lisbon, North Dakota. And we'll take a look at the squad that you're going to be fielding here this year in a little bit. But a little bit more on your background. Like you mentioned there, you went to college at SMSU. Are you from Watertown originally?
I'm from Watertown, yep.
Okay.
Yep. I went to SMSU, and then I transferred to SDSU. Just an average Joe there, got my undergraduate. Now I'm teaching PE and health at Simmons Middle School. So.
Okay. So very, very busy guy.
Oh, yeah. I try to stay busy.
Okay. So I'm looking at the roster here, and I see a lot of familiar names from last year. Is it fair to say that there's some expectations for this season? Because Coach Kusler last year did a great job with the squad. Team had a great year. They make us run to the state tournament there a little bit. What are your, I guess, expectations for this year?
Yeah, definitely there's some expectations. We should definitely make it to the state tournament and make a deeper push this year. I think we have some guys who are returning. We have some newer guys who this is their first year in Legion, and we have that middle ground too. I think we have a great group, and we can probably, I mean, definitely make a push for the playoffs this year.
How's the roster work? Is it, do you make cuts? Do you have tryouts kind of thing? Or do you get a lot of kids that come out? How does that all work?
Yeah, so we had tryouts and stuff. And with Legion 2, it's kind of where your age is at. Because if you can, it's January 1st is the cutoff to be a super senior again, to come back and play. So we get those guys coming back in, and just it kind of depends on age and stuff too. So, yep.
I'm looking at your roster here too. And like I mentioned, a lot of guys that are returning players from last year. Drew Saulfrank had a great year last year. Philip Zenz had a great year last year. Zane Backus. I mean, this team is pretty much stacked. Did you kind of feel that same as well?
Without a doubt. We were actually taking BP on the field the other day and saw some home runs, so that's kind of nice to see. One almost went over the batter's eye in the back, so that's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, when you see something like that, does it just – you got your eyebrows raised like, hey, we might have something here on offense. Is that fair to say?
Oh, for sure, yep. And batting is a huge part of it too. You know, if you can't score, you can't win kind of a thing. So that's kind of been one of my biggest things is, hey, we got to be efficient at the plate, and our pitchers have to do their job because our defense will back us up. So
Nathan Ganelli joining us here in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. And don't take this the wrong way, but when you got a team that is – this loaded, do you almost kind of see yourself, just don't screw it up? Because it's your first year as a head coach, and I think we've talked with many coaches over the years, high school and college, they're like, yeah, I'm just kind of managing things a little bit. Is it kind of similar for you? Because these guys know each other quite well. You don't want to come in there and reinvent the wheel. It's just almost like, hey, I just do the little things right and we'll be okay.
Right, yeah. And there's a part of that too, and there's some different challenges, like kind of keeping them humbled and keep them together as a team. I think that might be the biggest challenge because, again, like you guys mentioned, we have the talent. Now it's just playing together as a team and then building that culture up for the younger guys who will come up in the future seasons.
So what's the next couple of weeks look for your squad here? Is it a lot of practice type of things? I mean, obviously you never know with the South Dakota weather if you can get outside or you got to be inside. So what's that kind of look for you here the next couple of weeks before opening pitch here in the next month?
Yeah, just getting outside as much as we can. I mean, today's a beautiful day, and we'll get out there. Just getting outside, going through scenarios, hitting on the field, getting our bullpens in, kind of getting everybody revved up to play on May 8th.
Looking forward to that. And are there some guys in particular that you're really kind of looking forward to see? And or maybe even has there been a guy or two that you've been already impressed with that we haven't even mentioned yet?
Yeah, Casey Vining for sure. I mean, he smokes the ball, and he's a great team leader for us. Philip Zenz, he'll be bumping pretty often, and he throws pretty hard. He's a good pitcher and shortstop for us. And then Zane Backus, nicknamed Zeebo. Zeebo behind the dish and just sticking it out at third base, shortstop. I mean, like you guys said, we have a pretty stacked squad. So just kind of figuring out where people go, where people fit, and making a push for the playoffs.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the offense that you have. You know, obviously you want to see more of the same things on the pitching side of things. You know, you talk about having deep arms in the bullpen, guys that you can rely on late in games. Do you feel confident with that group as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're pretty deep in the bullpen. We got some younger guys who can throw pretty hard and some of those middle guys who can come in and throw a couple innings for us. So I'd say we're pretty deep in the bullpen too.
How much do you know about the rest of the landscape of Legion baseball in the state? I know you, like you said, you're from Watertown, so you kind of know the way of the land. How much scouting outside of obviously what you guys have now do you kind of do before opening day?
Yeah, it's nice because when I coached in Watertown, it was when they were in 13, 14 U, so now those guys are seniors, and I coached Junior Legion for Brookings. Now those guys are seniors, so I'm kind of familiar with that. And then Sioux Falls is always good, too. So now we kind of have a good grasp of what our state looks like, and we're going to be pretty competitive this year.
Yeah, it seems like South Dakota, the game is growing in baseball, and, you know, just covering Legion the last couple of years when I was working out there, insisted in, you see a lot of guys that are passionate about the sport that want to get better, you know, guys that maybe didn't play baseball at one time are learning the game, you know, at, you know, an older age, it seems like maybe in the high school level. Do you agree that, you know, you feel like the game is growing here in South Dakota?
Oh, for sure. And it's just a different game too. You know, it's fast paced, it's slow paced, it's everything in between. It's really just, it's just a great game of life, you know, like you're going to do all the right things and you might still fail. It's all about picking yourself back up, getting your team to rally behind you and just succeeding as a group. A
couple more here with Nathan Gonnelly, head coach of the Aberdeen Smitties. We are notorious for talking baseball and superstition. So what's up your sleeve? Do you have a lot of superstition from the managing perspective, or
no,
maybe when you played back in the day?
I used to have a lot of superstition as a player. I'd have to, like, listen to the same music, eat Lucky Charms before every game. But, you know, after a while, you start to wise up a little bit and just kind of kick those off to the side. I'm just going to go out and play ball today. So
I like the Lucky Charms aspect of that, you know, maybe because you get some luck when you're at the plate, right?
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. That's at least what I thought.
I'm looking at your schedule here. You got 7 games in the month of May. It's a little bit of a grind there. Can you just talk about maybe the grind of baseball that maybe some people don't know, because you playing games game in, game out, you know, you got to be ready and have that laser focused, right?
Right. Like, we got 54 games in the regular season, and that's not counting tournaments either. So it's a grind for sure, playing almost every other day and just kind of keeping the boys in sync with each other during practice and stuff too. So it's a lot of work, but I mean, baseball's the best game in the world, so it's always kind of fun to be a part of it.
So Matt mentioned the fact that you've got a bunch of those games in the first month of May. A couple of those games are against Watertown. What's it going to be like to go back home and compete against maybe your old squad there a little bit?
It'll be fun. It'll be fun to see some familiar faces and stuff, and then, you know, just bring it to them. You know, be competitive and show them what Aberdeen's about. I think it'll be a pretty good game, and I can't wait for them to come here and Aberdeen to get everybody out and support us.
So when the Smitties are playing their best baseball, hopefully that's, you know, at the end of the season, right before the state tournament, but when you guys are at your best, in your opinion, what does that kind of look like?
Oh, I mean, at least double-digit runs, I mean, for the game. I think we have the bat power. I think our pitchers can throw good strikes, and I mean, we're gonna pretty much dominate on offense and pitch hard. That's what I said earlier. It was my philosophy is throw hard and hit harder. You know, just be the team that's gonna burn it by you, throw some nasty junk pitches, get you swinging that stuff, and then backing it up with the bats.
Yeah, really looking forward to that, and looking forward to seeing how it seems like you want your squad to jump out early in games. You hear a lot about, hey, the offense is a little bit slow, and then they pick up late in the later innings. It sounds like you want your squad to be scoring runs early and often.
Oh, for sure. Yep. Like I said before, if you can't score, you can't win. So let's get them going early.
All right. Looking forward to the season here. May the 8th is the first doubleheader there at 6 and 8 o'clock. And then, like you said, 50 plus 54? Did you say 54 games?
54 games, yep.
That's a very aggressive schedule.
That's a grind.
It is. That's a grind. It's aggressive, but that's summertime baseball in South Dakota. Coach Gonnelly, thanks for popping in the studio here this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
And thank you, sir. Once again, that's head coach Nathan Gonnelly joining us, the head coach of your Aberdeen Smitties. Take a break in the action right here and right now. Your Aberdeen Wings Weekly is coming up next with Jay KleinConnect.
The second portion of Wings Weekly starts now. And again, we've got a player joining us. And thankfully, you know, they've got a little bit of time that they're able to spend with us. So we are joined by this time by Ryan Flaherty of Edina, Minnesota. And man, huge goal for starters, 32 seconds into the game. or was it 28? No, yeah, it was 32 seconds into the game, that wrister from the top of the circle, you know, and it was like from my line of vision, you could completely see that, you know, the open ice, and you just absolutely bar down, huge, huge goal there. That had to be, you know, I always say, well, how did it, I always joke about people saying, how did it feel? Well, it's got to feel good. But in a case like that, it's even a little different because you're setting the tempo. You're setting the pace. The whole bench is, you know, just they're jacked up. You're jacked up. That's like, all right, this is our game. We got this. That had to be a huge moment.
Yeah. I mean, I was very lucky to get to experience that early on. I mean, the puck bounced right out to me, and everything bounced perfectly my way, and I'm just very blessed that I got to experience that pretty quickly.
What are you looking at when you take that shot? Are you looking, I mean, you're seeing, because there's nobody. Usually, you know, oftentimes there's bodies in front of the goaltender or whatever else, but in that case, it was almost like a breakaway. There was nobody in front of you. Are you looking at the corner? Are you looking at, you know, where you want to put that?
Yeah, I mean, I looked up, and the goalie was kind of cheating a little to the left, and so that right side was really open. And I think I got a little help from the defender's stick. I think the defender's stick may have deflected it up a little higher. So I think that would have helped me a little bit too.
Right on. That was awesome. A huge, huge moment to score that early on. You know, before I go into the rest of you know, the questions that I've got, I want to ask you. Got to ask. You know, state tournament, Minnesota high school hockey is huge. We all know that. Everybody in the hockey world knows how big that Minnesota high school is. High school hockey is, but high school that tournament that fills the XL Center and so on. You know, and you come off of a state championship win with Edina. We've had one other player that I can remember, Joel Molinar from Bloomington, about 5 years ago, I would say, roughly, that he won the state championship. And a week later, he's with the Aberdeen Wings. And similar situation for you. What's that like? You're at the epitome of high school hockey, and you know, you win that with your teammates and stuff, and then you come on to junior hockey just, you know, a short time later. That's got to be kind of a weird transition.
Yeah, I mean, it's a definitely easier transition after winning the state championship because you're not sad leaving your hometown. But honestly, I think it gave me more confidence coming into here because, I mean, there's a lot of Minnesota guys that, like, we're aware of that happening, so it gave me something to talk about with these guys and kind of like an icebreaker.
Yeah.
It just gave me confidence on the ice to know my ability.
That's interesting. And that actually leads me to another question I'm going to get to in just a little bit. But that's funny because I was thinking the other way around. I was thinking that if you win and you're like celebrating and you're like, you know, a hero of Edina and you're, you know, you want to be with your teammates and want to be in all that celebratory stuff and you're rolling on to the, you know, to go play juniors, you kind of miss out on some of those things in some ways. And maybe if you lost or, you know, were knocked out in the second round or something, it'd be like, all right, now's my chance to go play at another level. That would be a little bit more exciting, but you're like, it's the other way around. You know.
Well, I think there's a lot of people on our team. Almost all the seniors are going off to play juniors too. And I mean, we still got our team after party right after we won that night. And I actually did get to go on spring break with a lot of my friends too.
Okay.
So I got like a good week to celebrate and be happy about it. And then I was ready to get back to hockey and come here.
Worked out well. Good timing right there. Well, we had you on mic'd up. We saw you on mic'd up. And Ryan, of course, does that and does a great job with it. You've been playing since you're 4 years old. You haven't had any family members or anything like that really influenced you. But being from Minnesota, it's sort of in your blood. That's just kind of the way it is. But what have been some big influences in your life as you grew up, as you started to skate and started to, you know, when you're 8 years old, when you're 10 years old, whatever. Is there somebody that you've really looked up to or somebody that maybe has helped you along the way?
Yeah, well, my neighbors when I was little were also on the varsity team, the Edina varsity team, and it was Dylan Malmquist. I don't know if you know that name. He was the captain at Notre Dame.
I do know that name.
Yeah. he was friends with my neighbor, and so like all the Edina hockey guys would be skating on my backyard rink. Like
another Minnesota guy with a backyard rink.
Yeah.
Big surprise, folks. Big shocker. A Minnesota guy with a backyard rink. I can't hardly believe it.
Everybody has one, but yeah, just playing with those guys. And then like Liam Malmquist was always over there too. He plays at St. Thomas right now. He used to be at Wisconsin. So I think growing up, I always wanted to be like those guys, and I wanted to make the varsity team, and that was like my main goal.
Right on. Some big time influences there, for sure. That's very cool. All right, you know, and you talked about it a little bit in Mic'd Up too, about the you know, the differences between high school hockey and this junior level. And I always find this very interesting because I've known some guys and I've talked to some guys over, well, I've talked to a lot of guys over the years, I suppose. But you know, there's some that even off the mic and away from things, they'll be like, I'm not getting the minutes that I thought I would. I'm not, you know, whatever. And I've explained to it a couple of different ways, but usually it's this. And you said it in Mic'd Up. Everybody in this locker room was a star at their school. Everybody was a star at their level because they're moving to this level. And you know, when you're used to being that captain, that guy that gets all the minutes and that is, you know, on the power play or whatever else, and you come to this level and you're not getting the same minutes, it's sort of hard to, you know, compartmentalize or to, you know, to kind of understand. But the reality is, when you're a stud in high school or whatever level you came from, and you come up to another level, everyone in this locker room is the same. So it's a little different. How has that been? Have you been able to go, okay, I get it, these guys are fast, they're, you know, the level, the physicality, the speed, all of those things are a little bit elevated. What's that been like?
I mean, going into this, I knew I wouldn't like come in here and already have a huge role. Like, I expected this to be the case, and fortunately at Edina, I actually already got to experience this when I came in as a sophomore. I also didn't play, and I had to work my way up through the ranks, so I came here, and I'm just going to have to trust the process that eventually my time will come.
That's a great outlook. Great outlook, and it's a great reference too. You know, as you go into a varsity team as a younger player, it is very similar in that way for sure. Coming in late in the season, really, like you have, what's the welcome been like? Who's the guy that's been like, hey man, you know, well, I'll show you the ropes. Are there some guys that have kind of stood out in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, all the Minnesota guys, it was very easy coming in with them because they all know about the state championship, so they're all very nice about that, especially Gravy, who sits right here. He likes to chirp me a lot about the state championship because he also won a state championship.
I can't believe Gravy would chirp anybody ever. He's the nicest guy.
Well, yeah. And then Croy, he's my billet, or I stay with him in the billet house, so like he was the first person that I met coming here, and he's been super helpful for me coming in here, and he's also from Minnesota. You know, another kid that's been super good to me is Grant Conan, another Minnesota kid. Yeah, but there hasn't really been anybody that hasn't been welcoming.
I wouldn't think anybody could. But, you know, it's just interesting how sometimes people are a little more welcoming than others. But I find that interesting, too, that, you know, even GK or Grant Conan, that everybody, I think that's the third time I've heard somebody say that he's one of the first people that's like, hey, you know, like, just nice guys that are, you know, and that's so great because it's hard coming in late in the season. These guys have been here since August, you know, a lot of them anyway. And so that's pretty cool. All right. We've talked plenty here about hockey and about, you know, your start and all of that sort of stuff. I'm going to ask you some goofy questions now. Are you ready?
Yep.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
No ghosts?
No, not really.
No hauntings? No nothing? No, nobody's ever, nothing that you've ever known or anybody that you've ever known has been scared by something that he can't explain?
I mean, I see things like that, and I just think that they're all made up and staged. I don't really, I mean, I like watching horror movies because, like, they used to terrify me, but, like, now they're all kind of the same plot, and I don't really believe in it.
But it's like, okay. What now? Okay, now this is off. I did not have this written, but I've got to go off in another direction. There's different horror movies. There's the slasher kind, where some whack job is out there killing people, and then there's the kind, the paranormal kind, where the doll all of a sudden starts moving and stuff. Which one's more scary to you?
Definitely the like slasher murderer stuff.
Really?
Well, that's more realistic.
Oh, like,
that could happen. There could be a psycho that comes to you.
But that is true.
Paranormal stuff, I just don't really believe in. So.
I am a hard pass on that. I get what you're saying because it is more realistic. But man, when something starts moving and some weird stuff starts happening, that I can't explain. Yeah. That scares the hell out of me here. But anyway, all right. How about aliens? You think we're alone in the universe? Heck, our universe is small. We've got all kinds of space out there. Are we alone?
No, I don't think that. I don't really believe in like the UFO sightings and that there's ones anywhere on Earth.
Even though the government literally came out and said there are UFOs. We have, they came out and said
that.
That
guy might want his like 5 minutes of fame. I don't know if he's telling the truth, but there's definitely, I feel like there's definitely life somewhere in the universe. But
all right, now, Bigfoot, real or not real?
I'm gonna say not real. I don't think so. I think there could be maybe a big animal that's similar, but I don't think it's the way it's depicted in like the fairy tales. But
I'm with you on that. By now we'd have found a body or something like
that. Actually, funny story, my online class is called, one of my online classes is called Myth or Science, and I just had to answer that question if I think Bigfoot is real, if I think like a Yeti is real, and my answer for all of them, and a Loch Ness Monster, my answer for all of it was like, well, if it was real, I think we would have hard evidence at this point.
So. I mean, Bigfoot has been around, or the story of Bigfoot and Yeti and stuff have been around forever. Same thing with Loch Ness Monster. Literally since the 20s and 30s, people have been saying that they've been seeing Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster. By now, you'd think there'd be some physical proof, so I'm with you on that, man. I'm with you. All right, what's your playlist look like? You a country guy? You a rock guy? You a, you know, what's your music?
I think I have a very wide range of music. I think my number one is country.
Yeah?
Like, every time I'm driving in the car, I listen to country music, but it varies, because, I mean, in the summer when I'm, if I'm out on like my boat, then I'll listen to like more upbeat, like EDM
party
or
music.
House music, whatever you want to call it. Before games, I'll listen to like rap and hip hop. So it kind of just depends on the mood. I have a playlist for almost every mood possible.
Right on. All right. All right, follow-up question. Country, your go-to. Are you like new country, pop country, like Luke Combs kind of stuff, or are you like old-school country, like George Strait?
Almost all of it.
Yeah?
The people I listen to the most is newer country, like Zach Bryan and Morgan Wallen, but I mean, I grew up at the cabin listening to my parents' country music, so like I also like the older country music too.
Well, I want to have a beer with your parents and listen to some old school country. Love that. All right, you know, I'm keeping you here for a while, but a couple of quick other questions. You know, besides hockey, like take hockey out of the equation, because I always, you know, I hate asking somebody this and them, well, what their dream is to continue to play hockey, obviously. But what do you want to do with, you know, like your life after hockey? What's your dream job?
I think I just want to work anything that can be remote. And like my biggest fear is working in a 9-to-5 with like an office.
In like a cubicle?
Yeah, I think I would want to do anything that allows me to travel, because like my dream is to see all 63 national parks. So my plan after hockey is to live in a Sprinter van and just travel around for a few years. So.
You got a hippie mentality going on there. Love that, though. That's cool. Now again, follow-up question. What if you, of all the national parks, what are your top two? What are the first two you're going to go to?
Well, last summer, I started this plan, and I went on a road trip, and I saw the Yellowstone, Grand Tetons.
Mm-hmm.
I saw
Jackson Hole, beautiful area.
Yeah, that was, I think the Tetons have been my favorite so far. I saw Voyageurs National Park up in Minnesota, and what's the last one? Wind Cave and the Badlands. So I saw a lot of national parks.
Yeah, you've already knocked a bunch out.
Yeah, and I saw more when I was younger, but I don't count those yet. I'm starting now because I want to remember them. So
Grand Canyon is one that always sticks out to me that I really want to see that. I'd really like to see the Grand Canyon. I haven't seen that, but yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. All right, playoff atmosphere. Back to hockey. We're getting back to the real stuff here. Talked to Coach Langer here a little bit ago about the atmosphere. You played in Bismarck. And, it's a different world in a lot of ways, certainly from North Iowa, especially last weekend. Now, in seasons past, last season, North Iowa's been a little bit more boisterous and raucous and so on. But Bismarck's going to be a different atmosphere for sure. How do you guys, as players, mentally prepare for that? Or is it, as Coach said, for him, he doesn't hear anything. He doesn't hear the noise. He's just focused on the game. Is that like, or can you get distracted by the crowd, or not distracted, maybe isn't the best word, but even motivated? I've talked to some guys that have said they love playing in a barn that is really like, booing and that kind of stuff, because it kind of juices you up, What are your thoughts about this weekend?
I mean, I think it can be different for everybody, but for me at least, I love the big crowds. I think that gets me going more. And for the most part, I don't think I really hear much of what the crowd has to say. So it doesn't really bother me that much.
Right.
But yeah, I think the booing and stuff like that is kind of funny, actually. And it does kind of get me going. So.
You guys are all wired a little different, I swear. That's funny, because I've heard that several times, that people are like, man, it actually gets me going. Like, yeah. The more they boo, the more they heckle us, the more excited I am, and the better I want to play. So, all right. Well, we got a few quick notes here. Again, Robinson Cup playoffs, round one, games 1 and 2 at the Bismarck Bobcats at the VFW Center. 7:15 puck drop both nights. Watch at City Lights Bar and Event Center in Aberdeen on 2nd Street, or by logging in to NAHLTV.com. Listen to 94.1 The Rock, HubCityRadio.com, or on The Rock app on your phone anywhere. All you have to do is just go to your app, your app on your phone, and search The Rock, 94.1 The Rock, and you can download it and listen anywhere. So check that out. Then Friday, of course, on the final, well, not the final, but for sure, a guaranteed Friday home game here at the ODI Center, April 26th, Bismarck Bobcats. That's game 3. Corporate sponsor that night is Hub City Radio. 2023-2024 Wings trading card giveaway at the door. First 100 fans will receive a package of team trading cards. Not sold at the pro shop this year, so this is the only chance to get them, so that's pretty cool. So check that out. Saturday, April 27th versus the Bismarck Bobcats, game 4 if necessary. More details to come. We're not sure, of course, on game 4. We're hoping that the Wings can at least win 1 or 2 up in Bismarck and maybe push that on to where, there isn't a game 4 and sweep the Bobcats. But either way, then game 5, if necessary, would be Monday, April 29th in Bismarck. So that's the way the schedule looks, folks. Sponsorships and reserve season tickets are now available for the 2024-2025 season. Call Aaron at 605-380-5852 for more information. And for all the latest news and information on the Wings, visit AberdeenWings.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or X, as they're calling it now, or as Elon Musk has changed the name, and on Instagram. Plus, you're probably watching this on YouTube. You can check it out there. Thank you so much, Ryan Flaherty, and congratulations on a huge goal to get your team really jacked up and juiced and jamming there on Saturday night. So thank you, and welcome to Aberdeen, and good luck against the Bobcats.
Thank you.
And once again, that's this installment of Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly with Jay KleinConnect, catching up with Ryan Flaherty. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will have Colin Cowherd take us out of the top of the hour. We'll have a Wolves midweek coming up tomorrow on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Until then, this is David Tewksbury saying ever onward, always forward and never backward. We're back at it on Hump Day on FSA.